This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. And today we're going to be talking about tapping for animals. It's a healing technique that you can learn and you can use with your animals, or if you're volunteering in shelters. I love doing it with dogs in the shelter. I have John DeWittis with me. Did I say that right?
It's Whitis.
Whitis. John DeWittis. I never had to say it out loud.
I know.
John DeWittis. Okay. Wonderful. And she's an expert tapping. She trains the trainers. And she has just taught so many people the tapping arts. And her motto is feel better fast. And this is for people and animals. So I know you're going to really enjoy this show. Hopefully you'll be able to see it on YouTube. But if you can't see it, you'll be okay listening, as we'll talk you through as carefully as we can this simple technique. So hi, John D. Thanks for being with me.
Hey, a pleasure. I was happy to be with you.
So not everybody knows what tapping is. So let's give them a basic explanation of what it is and how it works and why it works.
Well, sure. Tapping is a way to use your fingertips to tap upon several little places on your body. Usually about 8 will do it, even though there's well over 300 in the acupressure and acupuncture world. And it's based on all these ancient techniques and concepts of balance and rebalance for calm and well-being. And so we've adapted it in the modern world to our own concepts and our own fast-paced life. And what we generally do is, in Jandi speak, we tell the truth, the simple truth. And the first person we tell it to is ourself. And you'd be amazed how much your body will relax, rebalance, and be putting out a much more coherent and enjoyable energy and experience of life. And we can do that with past events or present situations, and we can create a state that feels better fast.
That is a wonderful explanation. Now, I know people are probably familiar with acupuncture, where the needles are put in the energy meridians, very specific energy lines in the body. So what you're saying with tapping is that we're using those same meridians, but instead of using needles, we're using our fingertips. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And the great news is we don't have to go to school for 8 or 10 years to do that.
Right.
Like your master acupuncturists do. And also, we don't have to be so specific, because we are percussively tapping on the spots instead of making direct, accurate pinpoints. Uh-huh. And so in that way, it's like ripples in a pond.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So we are giving stimulation through tapping, percussive tapping on points. And the great news is that we can be close and it'll still work. So we don't have to hit it with the precision of an acupuncturist needle. That's really exciting. So yeah, so what got you into tapping? What convinced you that this was going to be your life's work?
You know, I say this with laughter as well as honesty. Desperation. Generally, people who come to tapping are one of two kinds. They are pioneering early adopters. They're just interested in the world and what's new and what's next and what's possible. But there's a lot more of them that are desperate because they've tried everything else.
Uh-huh.
So this becomes a source of last hope sometimes. And I was in that category, and I was trying to get my daughter some relief from problems I could not understand. But I knew somehow these were not cognitive problems of the mind, and they were not biological problems either, but they were showing up with that symptomology of something's wrong.
Uh-huh.
You could see it and you could feel it, but I sure couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
It's how I finally happened upon tapping. And even though we got her some help, I went, and it's for me. This is for me to do and pass on.
That's wonderful. Now, animals can't talk to us. They can't say, oh, my left leg is hurting, or, you know, tell us what's bothering them. How do we work with animals who can't tell us what they're feeling? Unless you're an animal communicator, which we'll get to. But
I wish I were an animal communicator like you, but I believe we can all learn to better receive the communications that they are giving us. Yes, they're not words, but frankly, words are very crude versions of communication. They're just widely accepted and culturally taught.
Yeah.
We can all feel, we can all see, we can all hear, we can all observe. Something's not quite right. We can feel it. Something is not right with Daisy.
Yes.
She is doing something unusual. I'm noticing that she is showing me something. I'm noticing her behavior has changed. I'm noticing she really doesn't seem to like. And so in that way, it is about us attuning, noticing what's going on. But I also, because not only because I'm a Pisces, but also because I work in energy work, I feel a chance, right? And so I think there's many people in the world that all of us can understand. We've seen them back away when they open a door, they come into a room and there's a dog, and it doesn't matter if it's like pint size, it's a Saint Bernard. They're like, see that, because they feel something of their experiential past has immediately taken over their physiology.
Yeah.
So we're not actually that different. But let's move over to the animals and say we see them do the same thing. And your famous away and toward.
Yes.
Kind of understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of watching the signals and seeing, is an animal moving towards what feels good, what feels safe, or is the animal moving away or resisting what doesn't feel good? And this is their definite wisdom. And as we pay attention to this, especially the subtle cues, like an away signal from a dog could simply be eyes looking away. A slight head turn is an indication that, no, thank you, I really don't enjoy this petting anymore. What you're doing over here is not, you're on autopilot. You know, so yeah, it helps us to tune into them, to really be paying attention to what they want. So let's say you see a dog who's got some nervousness, some stress, some general anxiety. You don't know any more details other than that. And the person said, you know, could you help me with some tapping? So you have permission to help. You're not just going up to strangers on the street and tapping them. You definitely need, we need that sense of permission.
Exactly. And so an important place to start is to understand we got the, let's call it the owner's permission, but we didn't necessarily get the animal's permission.
Right.
So I think that's a very important place to start, at which point I start to become, let's call it, more heightened in my presence, my consciousness of the energy I'm sending across.
Yes.
What the animal is starting to pay attention to is the me that is not spoken,
mm-hmm.
and maybe hasn't even acted yet. I'm sort of sending that out. If you could kind of see that as air going towards them. I want to send the intention of safe hello, but not rushing, right? Not moving in. I might be altering my gaze. I'd be softening my eyes, or I might be like the animal, averting my eyes.
Yes. Very polite in the animal world to do that.
And making it easy for them to look at me without feeling that glance.
As it.
And so I also, someone is talking.
Yeah.
I also like to understand that I have a smell.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not mean anything to me.
Uh-huh.
Usually our animals are very heightened sniffers.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, am I loaded with perfume, or do I stink like a dog that smells unsafe?
Or
do I have some other objectionable smell about me? So all of these things are sensory details that the animal is starting to get. And so when we put ourselves in heightened awareness and presence, it's all of those things we're trying to bring to the animal in a safe way that allows them to choose.
Yes.
I love it.
That's okay. You got a little puppy. That's all right.
Somebody's going past the door. How dare they? So the other thing I would say is I would like to talk to the animal, but it's not so much about the words. It's really about the energy behind the words.
Yes.
And, what we might call a verbal prosody is just fancy way of saying, what's the quality of your voice?
Uh-huh.
Right? Every different piece of it, what is the quality of that?
So wonderful. I love that you take the moment to get the dog's sense of, yes, I want this, no, I don't want this, before you impose a healing, you know, that we don't, you know, some people do that. So we don't want to do that. We want to really take a moment, make sure that our intention is clear to the dog says yes in some way through their body language, through their attention, through, you know, your sense of their energy in response to yours. So that's a beautiful way to begin. What happens next?
Well, next is my offer of getting closer. So I bring my towering self down, but very slowly, not forward, just down. And I might put out one of my limbs, but just really close to me, put it down on the ground.
Yes.
Near the ground. And so it's just an invitation. If you would like to sniff me, we'll come to you. I'm here.
Yeah. That's always wonderful when the animal chooses to come forward. We know, A, we're in sync. You know, yes, the animal's giving us a yes. I want whatever it is that you're offering. I want some of it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I think that by this time, I am looking with soft gaze for their eyes. I am trying to ascertain, do they have soft eyes in return?
Mm-hmm.
If they won't come any closer, I think it's, we have to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And we maintain our position, or maybe even sit down or move back or whatever, but just let it be telegraphed to them that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I might continue to refer to them every now and then and their owner. I might even have their owner touch me,
mm-hmm.
not me touch them, so that the owner is going, you know, this is good. You know, this is mine, or I can touch this new person. I can do that to them and they are safe. And in that way, we're kind of koshering the interaction for the pet if they want to take advantage of that. If they do come, again, I give them time to smell or to nose around or to do whatever they want.
Well, this sounds so in alignment with the human-animal connection, because we believe that there's a perfect distance for every interaction, and it's always different with every animal, with every day, whatever, you know, our mood, their mood. And so I love that you are taking the time to really give the animal a chance to choose to engage or not, because that makes all the difference in the world. When we choose to accept the healing, it's going to go much better. Yeah. So we're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want to hear some stories about how you've used this tapping with your clients and what results you've gotten. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. I'm speaking with John D. Whitus, and we are speaking about tapping, an energy healing technique that you can use both for people and animals, and even animals who've passed. We can still do healing work with them, which maybe if we have time, we'll get into that. But I want to just hear a story or two about your work with animals and the kinds of results you've seen with this energy work.
So, you know, I want to put two things out there. One is I actually have tried to get a particular person and dog I'm thinking of to come and see you for a much more comprehensive processing and healing. And because I could not affect that, I used the very techniques I just talked about with everybody and have made this highly reactive little dog into a person that is glad to see me.
Aw.
And I've even made it so that my new dog also is maintaining this kind of chill presence. And now he's glad to see her. And this is sort of the benefit of being able to work with your energy, to affect another's positively. When it comes to tapping, the tapping points that we have, we primarily use only 8 to 10 of the 300 tapping points. And we use even less, actually, with the dogs and cats. And I don't think I should have to point out, but maybe I do, most of us do not like people coming at our face. And dogs and cats even.
That's right. Right.
You know, everybody. And so the points that we have on our face are typically not what I would do with an animal.
Okay.
What I will do, however, is I will do some version of their collarbone points, which is on their sternum, and I'll also do from their brain stem down to their coccyx all along the spinal column.
Nice.
Are mostly the go-to points. So there's really only two that I'm giving you, two areas, right? Although if you have a lot of uptake with your pet, you could be very soothing like this. So it's not a tap, is it? It's more of a massage.
Right, like a circular motion. Yeah. Light circles.
You could still even move that onto the face if you needed to, but I really find that I do. And today, I actually asked my friend Cora, who is not a live dog, but very much a personality in my
Yes.
I've asked her to come along so that she could sort of demonstrate.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going for their face, but I will go for their sternum, right?
It's there. Collarbone, like right below the bottom of your neck, the top of your chest.
Where the arms connect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you will have to look for how it is comfortable for you. It may be the floor, it may be on the sofa, whatever works for you, but you want to make sure that they feel secure. Not secured so much as secure. And keeping in mind all the stuff that we already talked about your energy and your presence and your understanding of their allowance.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I might tell them in advance and be watching. I'm just going to tap a little bit on your chest right here. Would that be okay? Because I'd like to show you this might feel good. That might feel good.
So just to clarify, you're using your fingertips as the point of contact as opposed to, say, the flat of a hand. So, yeah.
And I'm being very gentle. I'm not being
not poking or prodding.
It's almost like the pads, if you know between the pads of your fingers versus.
Right.
But then we're just giving this little percussive tapping. With permission, but we're still really observant about what's going on.
Right.
The soothing voice, right? And the not staring at them. And then maybe I'm just talking free form about
there. Right. And you might have another hand point of contact for just some security, not again to restrain, but just to have a secure point. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. And how long would you typically tap for? Like, would you tap for 10 seconds?
Let you know.
Yeah.
They're going to let you know what they are going to be able to comfortably tolerate. And so I may do this, and if I've got their toleration, well, I might say, how about if we try it on your back? That feels good, right? Your back, that, let's try that. And so again, you're going to have to rearrange yourself somehow. Depends on kind of animal in place you have. But I'm going to say, I'm just going to lightly go down your back. Would that feel good? Feel good. So I'm really trying to read the room here.
And you're going to the side of the spine so that they don't feel any pressure on the spine. Yeah.
Exactly. It's almost like if you could make your hands or your fingers into a little C shape. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I'm not being so precise. So I could just do it with my whole paw. But again, like you said, it's not on the bones.
Bones, right.
Mm-hmm. Just on either side.
Right, right.
And so when I do that again, I'm soothing in the voice. I'm trying to make sure that they feel comfortable. And I'm talking to them and I'm going, you know, what a great dog you are, Cora. I would love to help you feel even better.
Can you? Now, just to tell the audience, you're going in one direction. So you're going down the spine. You're not going up. You're
from the cervical connection all the way down to the coccyx.
Mm-hmm. The end of the spine by the tail, yeah.
What I've noticed is many, many dogs love this last fourth. Some of them will do that automatic paw thing.
Uh-huh.
Them will just sit down.
Yeah, they'll just relax.
And some will even splay.
Yeah.
All the way down. But the idea is because we're putting so little pressure on it, that it feels good. And
yeah, it's just like awakening their senses, you know. And if we were doing it too hard, it would be like, what's she doing? This is, you know, so there's nothing hard about this. This is a very gentle process.
Yeah. So those are the two areas.
Yeah, yeah, those are fabulous.
Recommend that you there are many more in an
actress
book for dogs, cats, horses, etc. But I'm not one. I'm trying to be a healing agent and a force for safe and calm in the world.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, so much if we can just help the dogs kind of get into their calm body energy. They have their own healing methods that will kick in once we get them into a state of relaxation. So this is a very soothing technique. I do it with my dogs just about every day, you know, just a little bit, you know, and sometimes it's just a minute. You know, it doesn't take long. You know, they come and they want it and they love that one at the base of the neck, so what do you call it? I'm just sternum area. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah.
Collarbone area or the sternum, the high chest.
Yeah, so it's very soothing. And I do it for myself, too, when I need a little bit of soothing. And so, yeah, it's a really great point. I hope people will be inspired to just do this with their own dogs. Or maybe if you're volunteering at the shelter, I find many shelter dogs, if approached properly, love this, need this, will be so grateful for this beautiful touch.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And I'm just going to add a couple of caveats. One, tap on yourself just the same way we'll do this way, right? Before you go.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is about that being present, my intention to being present and safe and being a calm, positive person in the world to them, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
But holding that intention and no other one. It's not about my ego. It's not about watch this. It's not about I'm going to get this dog too.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in clean. It's loving energy. And we've tapped ourselves first. Then we go through the other things we talked about today of inviting them into your space and then honoring that.
Right. Right.
So when it comes to a shelter, if you have the chance, a great image in my mind of delivery is I sit outside of however they are contained and I bring all that energy I've been talking about and I tap on myself. I can even send you, Jeannie, a tapping sheet for humans and do that beforehand. And then I sit and I wait I don't stare at them, because then you'll be in the back of the container. They may be afraid of everybody, or they may be highly reactive. And I'm showing them non-reactivity by sitting safely for me and them outside of the contained area and just tapping and being, knowing that I'm just sending that over to them. Nothing else. And that may be all you can do. And you know what? That might be the best thing you did all day.
It's wonderful. It's just, I know, I love doing that when I'm volunteering at the shelter and just offering that calm presence. And then the dog can choose if they want contact or not, if they want closeness or not, if they want more healing or not. But just sometimes just those little, giving a being calmness and recognition, that's like, you know, 60%, 70% of the whole game is just by being a gentle presence in their presence, because the gentleness is contagious. You know, the calmness is contagious.
I love that.
That's beautiful. Well, how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to? You do remote sessions also with people, right?
Yes, I do. My website is cleverly named my own name, John D, J-O-N-D-I, Whitis, WHITIS.com. And you'll find a little contact form there where you're free to contact me and we'll talk for a few minutes and see what I can do for you. And if you find this energy and exchange between people beneficial, we'll just go from there.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you for the good work that you're doing. Before I let you go, do you have one last piece of advice for our listeners who want to do healing work with their own animals, the animals that share their lives?
I think it's simple common sense and kindness. Don't ever put anything out there that you wouldn't want coming back at you.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Nice little golden rule. Do unto others. And that includes the animals. That's beautiful. Well, thank you. I know we'll have to have you on again to go a little deeper into the art of tapping, but this was a great introduction, and hopefully people will feel confident enough to do this with the animals who share their lives. So thank you.
So welcome.
Yeah. Well, I'll say aloha for now. You've been listening to The Human Animal Connection. I'm Jeannie Joseph. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to The Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.